Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Babe.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is...
Babe.
Hi, guys.
Wow.
This is... We've fallen on tough times.
Yeah, it's pretty bleak lively right now.
So my microphone broke. So Ryan is talking into one mic and I'm recording on Ryan's phone. And I'm literally about to kill myself because I'm so irritated by
this
situation.
Well, also, we're in Palm Springs and we had to turn off the AC to record because it was really noisy. So we are just in Palm Springs sweating our fucking balls off.
Which I think actually could be a good thing because it's like I didn't work out today, so I feel like having this like sauna moment could behoove me in some way.
Well, you're always living life on the sunny side of the street.
Yeah, I'm trying to maintain positivity, but today
I'm dying.
It's challenging.
I'm hanging on by a thread.
Ryan's now dead.
I'm hanging on by
a
thread, by a moment, by a limb. What was that, Kristen Doty?
Hanging on your word.
By a word, by a thread.
Hanging on your words by a string, by a moment, by a thread. You've got me hanging on by a moment.
I'm just
on a string
whatever.
Thread.
I'm relating to Kristen Doty, which means that I have heat exhaustion. Like, literally, like, someone please call 911. Like, it's not good over here, honey. Cassidy Palm Springs. Okay, so listen.
But so we've found answers, and those answers are that we're making it work because I'm technology friendly.
Yeah, and we're dedicated to the readers.
Oh, obvi. Anything for you guys. So, hi.
Hi. So, why are we in Palm Springs?
Well, funny you should ask. We're in Palm Springs because Ryan got a little bug. He wanted to go away. Sometimes he just needs to go away and get out of town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're here. And I feel like I've been Airbnb-ing in Palm Springs for years. And I feel like I just stay in the same Airbnb over and over again because it's all the same. It's like mid-century modern and like a pool. And like, you know, it's
is this feeling the same to you as usual?
Yeah.
I was actually shocked because when you first showed me photos of this house, I was chilled to the bone.
I know. It's not so bone chilly in person.
In person, it's like chill, but in real life, it's a bone
chill.
Well,
it actually
isn't. Or no, in person, it's chill, but online, it's a bone chill.
It actually isn't chill because it's so hot, even with the AC going. Me and our housemates / Franz, Deanie and Claire, we did not sleep. Laura's the only one that slept. Laura can sleep through a fucking... like hurricane. She's fine.
Enough hits of the vape and I'm out.
Yeah, she was stoned last night and like trying to like talk like deep about Rachel Dolezal and I was not having it.
So we watched the Rachel Dolezal documentary.
Yeah,
that
Rachel Divide.
And this is actually a really good segue because I think that she is 100% the babe of maybe the month, if not the year, if not
or the century.
The century. And I think she goes so far into babe that it's something other than babe.
Well,
it's just like you're
well, it's
crazy.
It's like called psychosis. Well, here's the deal.
It's like you're mentally ill and traumatized and.
Well, that movie was a roller coaster. And by the way, I love that it's called the Rachel Divide. Which
sorry,
is
I just I just came up with a term for what Rachel is.
What?
She's a bub.
She's a bub. What does that mean?
She's a bub. That's like when you've gone beyond. Like you're not even like. Babe, you're just a bub.
Okay, I love that. She's a bubba-boo.
Yeah, she's a bubba.
She's a bubba. Okay, fair enough.
She's a bub.
So here's the deal. The movie really does take you on a roller coaster because you actually empathize with her because I did not know the story of her, the abuse that she suffered from her parents and the fact that they had adopted all these kids of color and then they abused them. I didn't know that she had been molested and... I didn't know any of the history. Oh, by the way, if you have not seen the movie yet, I guess you should fast forward because there are spoilers, I guess.
Well, I mean, whatever.
Whatever, who cares? So this
bottom line is Rachel has a history that you see why she's
You
understand and empathize with where she's coming from, but then it twists because
you don't know why she's reacting the way how she's handling the scandal is mind-boggling.
How she's handling this entire thing is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Like, that she has enough... It's crazy that she has, like, enough wherewithal and kind of knowledge of, like, Black history and culture to then get, like, join the NAACP and be, like, working tirelessly for the rights of African Americans, but at the same time be doing something that's, like, so, like, not acknowledging her own privilege. Like, you'd think that an educated woman would know how to handle this, but she, like, doesn't know.
Well, it's really weird because she loves to double down. Rachel loves to double down.
Rachel's gone beyond doubling down, and she's, like, 400-ing down at this point.
Basically, like, I wish that she could just say in an interview, like, hey, listen, here's the deal. I had a very traumatic, like, childhood growing up, which led to me kind of adapting this culture that wasn't my own. But I know that I'm white, and I know that I can't, like, relate to the experience of being a Black woman, and that's my deal. But instead, she's just like, no, I'm Black. That's it. Like, I'm Black. That's it. And what's the saddest part about that documentary for me, the hardest thing to watch, is that her kids are just suffering because she won't just admit that she's white. She won't admit that she has privilege. And so it gets dragged on, and the kids have to suffer for it. And that's really unforgivable.
Yeah, no, it's not fair. Rachel went through this, like, horrific abuse as, like, a child, and now the cycle of abuse is just starting over again with her, like, she is abusing everyone around her, but she's, like, unaware of it.
Yeah,
and that's, like, the scariest part. Like, every single person around her and in her sphere is suffering because of her actions, and she is blind to that and just, like, completely selfish, but it's also, like, delusional because she just doesn't see that.
There's this one point in the movie where she tells her kid, she's like, I just want you to have your own life. And she does this while, you know, bringing a camera crew to him, like, looking at college tours.
Yeah.
And she posts Instagram photos of him. And she totally, like, courts the media, and she courts the attention. So she doesn't actually care about, like, I mean, like, she brings her kids willingly into this.
And she goes
really unfair
into, like, every media interaction being like, I think this one's gonna be fine.
Yeah,
like,
they said
it's gonna be good.
They won't be mean to me.
Like, I'm really ready. And then it's like, no, of course, everyone's gonna keep trolling you until you literally just say, I'm a white woman. I was born a white woman, but, like, XYZ, I went through this, and this is where I'm coming from, but I get it. I'm white. I experienced white privilege.
And I'm
sorry. Never know what it's like to be Black, and I'm sorry, and let's, like, move on. But she, like, can't say it. It's insane.
It's really weird. And I feel like the funniest part of the movie for me was when, at the end, she goes to get a name change at the DMV and to start over and to be an anonymous for the first time. I'm like, wait, you're starting over at the DMV to be anonymous while being,
while,
like,
filming a Netflix documentary
for Netflix, and we all know your new name now.
Yeah, like, immediately after she changed her new name was, like, it was on the internet,
yeah,
what her new name was. So it's like, Rachel, what
you don't
the
understand.
Fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
She's a real TBD.
She's such a TBD. I just feel so bad for her kids because I'm like, they're all babe exclamation points, and they
they're
need to get
so
the fuck
cute.
Out
they're,
of there.
And, yeah, exactly. And they're so depressed, and it's all... Ugh.
It's anyway. All her fault.
So anyway, like, Laura was just, like, taking tons of, like, rips from the vape.
I was just like, vaping.
She was ready
was
to, like,
talk
about it. And I was like, honey, I cannot go there.
I followed Ryan into his bedroom, and I was just talk. And
no.
He was like, you need to shut the door in my face. And then I went in my room and had a photo shoot. And then I went watched videos of tsunamis. And then I went to bed.
I love that that's your bedtime story. That's your goodnight mood.
I just, like, got really into
carnage.
Yesterday watching videos of, like, the top deadliest tsunamis just to see what they
I'm
look
really
like.
I'm really into that stuff, too.
Yeah. And
but
I
not
watched,
before
like,
bed.
Plane crash videos.
What?
Which was, like,
no, I
stressful.
Can't watch that. I can't watch that because I hate flying.
And yeah, but it's interesting because, like, a disaster does not often look like how disasters are depicted in movies. Like, it's kind of far.
You don't say.
I know, but it's, like, far less dramatic in a
well,
way.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
So it's not, so you're telling me that the tsunami in Indonesia was not like the Naomi Watts movie, The Impossible?
No, that was like that. Cause that tsunami was truly terrible.
Yeah.
That was a babe of a tsunami.
Yeah.
That I mean, was, every tsunami is babe, but that one was a, that one was a bub. It was a bub. It was a bub.
One and bub.
It's done. Man.
So
anyways, what's going on with you?
Nothing. This
week?
What?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay. I mean, well, let's see. I mean, we're in Palm Springs. Okay, I guess I have like a babe history in Palm Springs I can talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been going here as a child of California for many years.
When was the first time you came to Palm Springs?
My uncle lives here. So I mean, young, I think. But I've been going here a lot in my 20s. I remember this visit. I went here when I was 23. It was during the holidays, and I was with one of my best friends, Katie, and there was this guy that I was internet friends with that was in Palm Springs because his gay uncle lived there. Which, you know, same. And I liked him so much. So we just like hung out for 2 days in Palm Springs, like me, Katie, and this boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like in love with him. I was obsessed. And then like nothing happened, obviously. He like spent the night in our hotel room. It was so weird. So then he like left, and then I was like, Katie, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna text him and tell him how I feel. And she was like, she was like, do it, sure. So I texted him being like, hey, I really like you. And he responded, I really liked your friend Katie. She's great. And I was like, oh, anyways.
Babe.
I know, it's sad. So then
but also, like, did you guys, maybe you came out too out the gates, like, well, with guns blazing too
no
fast.
One liked me. I mean, that, like, so it's like, I got rejected so many times when I was younger. It's mm-hmm. not a joke. Like, I don't get rejected that much now.
Mm-mm.
I mean, well, I'm in a relationship, so I don't really have opportunities to get rejected.
But, yeah.
But when I was in my 20s.
But now you're more of a rejecter, not a rejectee.
Yeah. So now, but back then I got rejected all the time. And then when I was 22, a year earlier, I went here for Christmas with my family and spent it with my gay uncle. And basically my family runs on like repression and like mm-hmm. sees candy. Those are like the two things that runs on. And they don't talk about anything at all. Like, and I think I've mentioned this before, like they have these like knock down, drag out fights about like someone taking a candy bar that's like a dollar and like being like, that
oh,
was
yeah,
for
I
me.
Remember that.
And I'm like, honey, I can Venmo you a dollar. I can go to the corner store and get you like a take five and then you can take five because you're being crazy. And it's obviously not about the take five candy bar. It's about like the simmering resentments that they've all lived with for years and years.
Yeah.
But like no one in my family wants to go there. And this Christmas, it was so toxic and it was so like, it was so tense and no one was acknowledging it that I finally broke down and started crying. And I was like, why doesn't anyone in this family talk about anything? And then my uncle went like straight, like monster Eileen Wuornos on me and like went crazy and kicked us all out in the middle of the night. We had to leave at 2 a.m.
Where'd you go?
We went home to L.A. So anyway, that was severe. That was intense.
That's
my harsh tie.
Yeah.
And it's taken years, but me and my uncle are just beginning to like repair our relationship again, and it's really good. But it was like, honey, you don't want to get bitched out by your gay uncle. Let me tell you. Guns blazing. So I have that history. And then I think that's it. We went here last summer because I was like writing, remember? And you took the test loop out here.
Oh yeah, that was really fun.
But Palm Springs to me is actually always a TBD. I like it in theory and I like being here, but honestly, like there's a certain like lost soul quality of being in the desert. Like the people that live here, there's just this kind of undercurrent of sadness because it's like, who would choose to live in the desert year round?
The locals,
it's weird,
have a strange vibe.
It's a strange vibe.
They have like a local Palm Springs vibe. But then also, I mean, I don't get the lost thing. It's just like, I guess I don't know. Like I've never been in a really, aside from just the Parker Hotel, which I find to be like the most
soothing.
Palm Springs vibe.
Yeah.
I'm never soothed in like a...
But by the way, like the Parker, it costs money to soothe, honey.
Oh, yeah.
It's like $800 a night.
You pay to get soothed as fuck and feel like you're just like on the grounds of like someone's beautiful house.
Right.
And you like run around and they let you do whatever you want. But like you pay for that.
Remember,
you
pay like for $17 for like a grapefruit.
Yeah,
yeah, it was crazy.
It was insane.
It was really good.
It was delicious. I mean, everything's delicious and wonderful and the best, but it's also like you have to.
But also, you get
comes
the bill
with a price,
and you're like, you could have gone to Europe.
No, Sooth is free.
You could have gone to Europe. Then.
Yeah, like, no, legit, you could have like, gotten a flight to Italy.
Yeah, yeah.
You could have just gotten a flight to Italy, but instead you decided to go to the Parker for 24 hours.
Yeah, instead you just went to the Parker and then you ate like dinner at some TBD like cantina and like was like, and then you were like hot.
The Parker's restaurants are pretty good though. I've always had a wonderful experience there. And it's like real, it's a real babe stomping ground for me, actually. No,
why? Because you recorded your Welcome to the Stage video there?
Please Welcome to the Stage was made at the Parker and that was like a really
I wonder if that's going to be on their like tour.
They
like,
should.
They
be
should.
Like, this is the history room where made. This viral yeah. video happened.
It'll be like John Belushi, like where he died in Chateau Marmont.
Yeah.
Yeah, that will be.
The new dying in a hotel room is creating a mega lol in a hotel room. So the Parker was the scene of that crime. But then also I had a really good like second date that happened at the Parker.
Really?
Yeah. Ooh. With that guy, the older guy that I was dating.
You guys went to the Parker?
Yeah, babe. I said he took me out to dinner and then he was like, let's go away this weekend. And I was like, let's go to the Parker. Let me tell you about this amazing hotel. And then basically set a precedent that the only way I was going to go out with him is if there was a room at the Parker involved.
That's chic.
Yeah. And so we got a room at the Parker and it was really fun.
Right.
And I was dog sitting my friend's dog. So I was like, plus you need to pay for this dog to come. So we did. And then we just like hung out.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's great.
It was great.
There's a lot of, there's been a lot of experiences here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's experiences.
But.
And right now is an experience.
I'm literally hallucinating. I'm literally like, I can't. I'm like, Nate, it's like fucking crazy.
I feel like the mixture of the mic breaking and the heat is making me into like going into like brat mode where everything is like unrelatable and bad.
I know. I feel like I can feel you being triggered across the table from me.
I'm like ready to just go off and be like, into this like mode and I did this when I was younger. I remember, and it's bad. Like, believe me, I'm fully aware of how bad it is. I like every.
Did you hear that? She's self-aware.
Every podcast is like me admitting to being a monster. I mean, like, I know, I get it, but will it change? Never. But like, I go into this mode when I get like trolled, where it's like I become just like entitled, awful, like demon,
yes.
And it's like it truly. Like my dad gave me a TV for Christmas once, and I flipped out and like screamed at my entire family. And
when
like,
was this? Recently?
No, this was like when I was in my 20s.
Oh, okay.
He gave me like a TV for my apartment, and I was like,
why did?
I was just like, why the fuck would he give me a fucking TV?
Are you Carrie in Sex and the City 2?
I think so.
You are.
That was my Carrie Bradshaw moment.
That is literally like big.
That was
TV.
Actually exactly.
And she goes, some diamonds would be nice.
That's how I felt.
Yeah, you were.
Oh my god, I fully did Carrie.
You kind of are Carrie scary. You are.
Like at my best, I'm like Lara Stara, and then at my worst, I'm Scary Carrie.
Yeah.
That actually makes me not want to be a scary.
Well, I always say, and I've said this before, like my best self is a Miranda, my worst self is a Carrie, for sure, without a fail. Like all my narcissistic writerly tendencies is all Carrie.
Yeah.
But then like all my best qualities, which I don't actually know what they are, are Miranda.
That's true. I think at my best I'm a Samantha, and at my worst I'm a Carrie.
You are not a Samantha.
That's actually offensive and rude that you would say that.
You are not a Samantha at all. In what world?
I quit this podcast. It's been a nice run, but this babe is over. I'm sorry. No one's ever going to get the merch. The Patreon shut down.
Stop.
This podcast ends today.
No,
why am I not a Samantha?
You kind of are now that I think about it.
You're such a contrarian.
I know.
Don't fuck with me in this heat.
I know.
I will come for you.
Your hat is like melting.
I know.
Your hat is like in your eyelid.
I'm
like
sweaty.
Yeah.
No, I am a Samantha. At my best, at my peak self, and my whole journey is to get and heal a lot of like sexual trauma from the past and like move past whatever like weird sexual blockages I have to achieve my final form, which is Larmantha.
Larmantha? I love that. Justice for Larmantha.
Justice for Larmantha. But it's gonna take a long time to get there. I think I need a shaman, like actual like shamanic surgery.
You always bring that up. You don't need that. That's a racket.
No.
Honey, you just like to be healed.
I love being healed.
But like, go heal yourself for free.
I do that in conjunction with seeking out healers
but
and getting help.
But some shaman recommended from Goop is not going to like save your soul. This is not like Jewel who will save your soul.
No, I'm not asking for my soul to be saved. I'm asking for a chakral block to be removed. There's a difference. And I think the readers will know that. Thank you. Thanks for weighing in, but I disagree.
Literally, they're like during the
everyone's
recording of this,
turn this podcast off now.
The recording of this podcast, Laura has like shattered 5 wine glasses and now she's just carving my name in blood. She's literally like,
I have Ryan like at gunpoint and I'm
know.
Like, record her.
She actually kidnapped me, took me to Palm Springs. I'm here against my will.
Yeah, I've gone full Carrie.
Yeah.
Speaking of Carrie, I have a new podcast. If you haven't listened, it's called Saving Sex in the City 3. And it's more than a podcast. It's a lolcast.
My boyfriend is on it.
Yeah, Justice for Jonathan. So
yeah,
if you're looking to hear what Jonathan has to say,
you won't get it.
Ryan will make sure that he takes away his freedom of speech on Babe forever, but you can hear Jonathan lol freely on Saving Sex in the City 3.
Wait, I think I do want to tell you that I got rimmed, because I think I'll just tell.
I fucking knew it. Here we go. This is like, okay.
What?
So Ryan had a whole experience literally an hour before we started this podcast.
Which,
and
which,
I was like, are we going to talk
decades? Because now the heat is warming
yeah.
my sense of time.
And I was like, are we going to talk about that? Like, that's perfect for talking about. And he was like, no. And I was like, give him literally a glass of Miraval and like talk a little more than he, where he feels the attention is shifted off of him, and he'll come out with the rimming story. So go, say
same.
It.
Same. You would do the same thing.
I would
All
not.
All my tricks are your tricks.
I would say that
the same tricks.
Game recognized game.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Babe recognized babe.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. So.
Exactly.
I. Thank God.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So, oh my God.
Okay,
you're
go ahead.
Scaring me.
Just go.
Your straw hat is now just a pile of ash on your head.
I'm like a scary Bradshaw.
You are
scarecrow.
You are
I'm a scarecrow
out on live time. I'm obsessed with it. Okay, so
you like it when I get a little crazy.
I guess
the heat
it's too hot
insane.
For this shit.
So okay. Go say it.
Okay, so I had an appointment with a erotic masseur today. Because, well, Palm Springs are, she just walks away.
I'm getting a refill. I'm recording okay. remotely. So,
So basically, like, I think you guys all know that I just love daddies. Love daddies. And Palm Springs is the land of the daddies. I don't think anyone here is below the age of like 40. And if they are, they look like they're 40. So it's really, really like my G spot. And I made an appointment with a guy. And I got a massage from him today, and it was a really good experience because he rimmed me. And what?
I just didn't realize.
I love a rim job. I honestly, it's the best job. I feel bad that they call it a job. It sounds like a blast.
You're like, you're hired.
You're hired.
Yeah.
Anyone's
well, it is
hired.
A job for him because you paid him to do it.
Well, he. Hey, look, not to split hairs or whatever, but he asked me if he could rim me.
I love that. And you said yes. And there's truly, there's nothing better than an amazing rim job and someone that like just eats your ass voraciously.
Look,
but,
I always
that
say,
his style?
I always say, and I've said this before on the podcast, the one prereq for eating ass is wanting to eat ass. Okay. And people that love to eat ass love to eat ass. And I love when people eat my ass.
Yeah. But the worst thing is when someone half-asses a rim
well,
job.
Well, that's just depressing.
It's
and that's
depressing.
Not fun for anyone.
It's like,
and
why
that makes
would
you
feel
weird and blah, blah, blah.
Like, I've only eaten one ass in my life, but I ate it with.
She's saying this while, like, opening a bottle of wine.
Yeah. I've only eaten one ass in my life, but I ate it with gumption and excitement, and I would never ever think to eat someone's ass like just like a whatever.
I had a boyfriend after college for a summer, not to brag. Someone liked me for 3 months in 2009.
What did you say? I had a boyfriend once.
And he loved to eat ass, and he would eat ass. He would eat my ass literally coming home from a bar drunk at 2 a.m., and I would be so shook by it, but I also would be so here for it. Like, it wasn't my journey, but I loved that it was his journey.
Yeah, and some people are really into that journey. Like, the first time... Okay, the first time I ever got rimmed was by, like, a boyfriend, love of my life, like, college boyfriend. And both of us were new to, like, an anal journey, so it was not... It was fun and exciting and felt good, but it was, like, I didn't know what excited ass-eating felt like. And he was just kind of, like... Take like dipping his toes in the water, and it was exciting, and we tried to like have anal, and that really was not exciting. And then I was like, well, I've kind of done it, so anyways. And then years go by, and the second time I got my ass eaten was after being at a Dave Matthews Band concert for like 3 hours.
Yikes.
And I was like,
crash into
that's
B&D.
Not my journey to like return the favor that night, but right. I'm like, I'm excited that he was really excited to.
Yeah, I mean, I really appreciate an enthusiastic ass eating moment, and I really like it when it's with a stranger. It's fine, like it's a fun bonding exercise. Like, hi, nice to meet you. Here's my asshole. Like, and obviously, I would never ever ask because this is not like a. Like, when I make these appointments, it's not, like, to have sex, because I don't have sex with them.
Well, yeah, but you're also, like, it's knowing that something sexual is going to happen, yes, and whatever happens is, like, sure, consensual and talked about and decided and upon arrival.
And it makes me feel good that, like, I would never ask someone if they could eat my ass, ever. Are you fucking kidding me? They have to want to eat my ass. Mm-hmm. That's, like, crazy.
Do people say it, like, the masseurs, when they advertise, do they say, like, I'm into rimming, or...
No.
They don't say, like...
It's because it's all very illegal, so okay. It's, like... It's
I'm like, sex work is still illegal.
Yeah, totally. I know. I'm like, I go to jail literally tomorrow.
I just thought that. I was like, what if you get arrested for this?
I don't know.
All lol.
I don't know.
No, like, you're fine.
Okay.
For all anyone know, it's like no one has proof. You That's could be true. Just lying and making all of this
That's
up,
true.
Which would be a true
That's
bait,
what I'm
and
doing.
And it would be on wink, brand. Wink, wink. This wink, is wink. Ryan's lying.
Did you hear that, authorities? I'm a liar. I'm gay
the
for attention.
Police that listen to our...
Yeah. The one gay police
is there
officer.
Any? Do you think a police officer has ever listened to this podcast?
Well, police officers are babes.
Yeah, so, they're true babes. And I think that if you're a babe, you don't listen.
No.
Babe don't recognize babe.
Well...
I want to know, if you're a police officer and you're listening right now, make yourself known. Tweet us.
Well, I also want to know how people feel about getting their ass eaten, because I want to know about gay guys specifically, because there are a lot of gays that don't do it, which is totally fine. But I think it's really fun.
Yeah. It's like, it's an untapped resource of sex. And I guess it's like, now it's becoming part of like the culture, greater cultural conversation about sex. Like, it's very more acceptable than like 5 years ago or whatever. Right. Like,
well, gay men have been eating each other's asses.
Well,
since
yeah, but I mean,
time.
Like, in wider, just like people are doing it more and like talking about it more. Like, Brielle Berman. Oh my God, there's a bee.
Oh!
Oh my God.
There's a bee.
How'd that get in here? We gotta let it out.
We gotta let it out.
Hang on.
Oh my God, I'm scared.
Oh my God, I'm freaking out.
I feel like Anne Hae okay. in Indio when she thought she was Celestia and like knocked on that neighbor's head door.
Wait, when did that happen?
Remember that? She had a nervous breakdown in like 97. And
come here,
she...
Bee. Come on.
She literally was in Indio, California, and she like went to some stranger's house and like said that she was Celestia and the spaceship had landed.
Love.
And then like Ellen's like, put a nozzle on her.
Okay, I released the bee into the wild. Are they I'm sure. I want to know if you're loving this podcast episode
I
or
know.
You're fucking hating it. But the bee's gone. I saved both of our lives.
Okay.
And Anne Hae is a true babe.
She's yeah, she kind of is. We've never talked about her
We've
before.
Never talked about Anne.
Celestia. Remember Celestia? That was
I don't.
Her
I remember. Didn't
Celestia
she, like,
was her alter ego. She wasn't like Celestia was like an alien.
So she was, like, dated Ellen, alien. And they yeah. were like a power lesbian couple.
Did you know that the
and Anne was
character
like,
of Heather Graham in Bowfinger was based off of Anne Hae?
Do you know? I've never seen Bowfinger.
No. Oh, well, who cares? But I mean, basically, the rumor is that Anne Hae was an opportunistic actress, and then she was like, oh, I'm going to date Ellen to get a leg up in my career. And then she did.
They kind of looked alike, too, at the time.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
They were giving you, like, butch
they were giving
les,
you, like,
chic
twin...
power les. Realness. Yeah.
And Anne Heche was like kind of like a young, gamming, like actress.
She was, I always thought she had a moment, but she was pretty. She was bad though.
But she was not into her.
And then she was
acting.
She wrote a book called Call Me Crazy, which I did repeatedly.
Mine is Call Me Babe.
Call Me Babe?
Babe?
Call Me Babe is the first one, and then Call Me Babe, exclamation point, sequel.
Yeah, Call Me Babe, and then Call Me Babe.
Yeah.
Wait, so Anne dated Ellen, and then they broke up, and then she went crazy.
She did. I think she got...
But then she was, like,
she
running
crazy
through the desert.
During... The desert meltdown happened, I think, when she was dating Ellen, if my memory serves. By the way, like, gay men have such, like, I would say 80% of gay men's brains are just, like, useless pop culture trivia. Like, I don't know how I know all of this. I just do.
I love that.
Like, Jonathan and I were having, lunch with our friends, David and James, and David, manages Sia, and James is like a pop culture pop star freak, and I don't care about pop music, but I just knew everything. I don't know how I knew everything. I think it just comes from like growing up and reading like magazines like Entertainment Weekly and like Premiere cover to cover, but yeah. I just know so much weird pop star shit. Anyways,
yeah, same.
Whatever. Yeah, it's fine. Sorry.
And so
back to Anne Heche.
Back to Anne. She went crazy and ran through the desert, right?
She had a breakdown, and then she was wandering the streets of Indio. She knocked on some random's house.
Indonesia?
No, Indio.
Indio.
Like 20 minutes from Palm Springs.
She was like, is Coachella happening? Yeah. This week? It was pre-Coachella.
So she had reason to be in Indio.
Yeah, but she like, she saw...
I mean, the, mission, what?
She was like... trying to go to Coachella before Coachella was a thing.
Yeah, well,
she was drawn to India. She's psychic.
So then she had this alter ego called Celestia that she referred to as like an alien. I actually don't know the full details on this, but it was truly next level. And then that's what she wrote her book about, Call Me Crazy.
So did she, what did she say about that in her book?
I never read it.
Was she schizophrenic?
I think, I don't know. I think she's still
works.
I love
the word like making fun of like a person with like
schizophrenia. I know, I'm sorry.
But it was not. I don't know. There's no excuse. I'm like, but it's not bad if it's funny, but it's like pretty bad.
No,
either
it's
way,
pretty bad.
It's
fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Whatever.
We're really hot.
And we're hot and like things are happening.
Things are happening.
This is like recording a podcast in a sauna right now.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm going crazy. I'm on my like second glass of rosé.
I can't drink anymore. If I drink anymore, I'll pass out. I had one glass and I'm like, night, night. It's like not good.
So what else has been going on?
Besides just getting rimmed by a stranger 45 minutes ago and then being in a sauna, not much. No, but I like, you know, it's so interesting. Like, you know, I used to get a lot of massages that were erotic, and then it turned into like an obsession and kind of an addiction. So I scaled back, and, you know, sometimes it can be really positive. I don't know.
If you're having fun and you come away from the experience feeling like that was fun and not trolled, then I'm all for it.
But it's hard for me. It's such a slippery slope because I think that the balance between being empowered and then also just needing validation because of low self-esteem is like so intertwined. It's crazy. Like, I do want to get to a place in my life where I don't need some daddy in Palm Springs to like lick my asshole so I can feel whole. Like, you know.
But I also think it's a question of like your relationship dynamics, because it's like that is part of your relationship agreement that's on the table and that's a fine thing to do.
Well, and that's the only thing I can do. That's the thing. So like,
complicated because like I think I would say go out into the world and like find a random hot daddy to like rim you. By all means, like, spread your wings and fly, Jonathan Livingston Seagull. But, like, you're not, and that's not part of your agreement of being, of your, like, relationship,
well, not
monogamish,
really,
whatever.
Jonathan gets really skittish when it's friends of ours, which I kind of get.
Well, yeah, no, I would not.
No, I get, but I don't want to, like, hook up with a best friend. I mean, it's not like that. It's like, it's tricky. I think with sex stuff, it's always tricky because I do walk away feeling good. Like, I felt like that experience today was positive.
Yeah, it seems really positive.
But
did he rim you until you came?
No, he rimmed me for like a little bit off and on, and then it was off and on. He would do it for a little bit, and then he'd stop, and he'd do it for a little bit, which is like amazing. It's just like, ugh, what a build.
What a build.
What a build.
5 stars. What a build.
Totally. Is there
like a Yelp review site for sex workers?
No, but yeah, there is. It's on Masseur Finder. And Rent Masseur. There are websites for this.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's also like a secret website, which I forget the name of, where it's like actual clients that like go see these people and like give you the tea on what they're
references.
Really like. Yeah. And so like some of these guys are shady and weird and like they'll let you know. And like these, like they're like, hey, has anyone tried out Tom from Los Angeles? And they're like, oh, do I have some stories for you? It's actually quite fascinating.
That's good because like,
it's a way to protect each other.
Yeah.
It is. It's
you're
like,
helping each other because if it's you're living like, it's like unregulated work that people do. But like lots of people do it. So when there's no one to police it, except the police who are just trying to like punish people and shut them down, you gotta look out for each other.
I just don't know if I want to do it anymore.
That's fair. I mean,
but I don't know what
that's kind of your thing when you go out of town though. You like,
yeah, have fun.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't want to, hook up with sex workers anymore or get erotic massages or whatever. I don't want to do that anymore, but I don't know what else to do.
I mean, I guess you have to like have an agreement with your boyfriend about what's okay to do and what's not okay to do.
I keep going back to the idea. It's so stupid. I feel like a broken record, but I feel like I keep going back to the idea of I'm mourning the fact that I went so long without having sex because I feel like it's created this insatiable itch where I want to be with other men because I want to experience that because I never experienced it. I mean, Jonathan's literally I've only slept with one other person besides Jonathan. I mean, like anal sex. Yeah. And it's just wild. It's just a really wild. I don't know.
I think that this would be a good opportunity for readers to weigh in because it's easy for me as like someone that has had sex like with multiple people throughout my 20s and beyond to be like, whatever, it's like you're not like what you're giving up is pales in comparison to what you're truly getting.
Oh, totally.
But and that's not the issue here.
No,
it's just more of an issue of experience and like, do you want all those experiences? And I can't answer that for you because I can just only speak from my experience, which is like, I don't like a lot of the random hookups and like sex with lots of people. I would take back a lot of them.
But see, there are certain people in my life, not many, but we have a fun flirtation and I know hooking up with them would be a fun, positive, consensual experience.
Yeah. But they're in your friend group.
Sort of. Not completely.
Yeah.
I would say on the edge. That's where I like them. Anyway, it's a constant negotiation. It's something that I haven't figured out, but I feel like I've exhausted the sex worker erotic massage route. And I feel like even though today was great and whatever, I just feel like in a weird way I'm acting out or I don't know. And I want something different.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I'm like, you're exhausting me with this.
I know. Thing. I'm sorry. No,
it's fine. I understand, though. It's important. And, like, it's important to you, so it's important to me. I don't know. I just wish
I knew how much of this was me just wanting to have positive sexual experiences and then just me wanting to feel wanted.
I think I think more of it is you wanting to feel wanted.
It's so tied into disability. It's so annoying. It's so annoying. It's like,
and also
I just
want to
feel valued because I feel like I've just been ignored for so long.
Yeah. And I think that you had a real like watershed moment for yourself when you came out about your disability.
Which wasn't that long ago.
Which was not that long ago.
Wow, that's the wild
and
part.
Like, that's kind of where
it was
things.
4 years ago.
Yeah. That's where things turned for you. And you met Jonathan like a year afterwards.
No, I came out about my disability on January something. And then we started dating literally that month.
Yeah. So it's like when you were honest about what it was you were dealing with in your life and like your disability, things happened for you and doors opened for you. So I think a lot of it is trying to like, is like you're living in a space of regret about the past and like realizing like it's almost trying to rewrite the past. Like, oh, if I just do it now, then it makes up for all those years that I like wasn't honest. And it's like, I think it's a way to be hard on yourself about not being honest or like, and then it kind of becomes a punishment almost because it's like, that going outside of your relationship as it currently stands would like fuck with your relationship. But it's also like you want to be.
I know.
It's very complicated, but it's understandable.
Well, it's a constant, when you're in a relationship, it's a constant balancing act of, you don't want to stop growing as a person. You don't want to stop having experiences. And it's, how do you do that in conjunction with someone else? Mm-hmm. And it's not always, you can't always do it.
And how do you reconcile your past and like your past mistakes and your past regrets and like honor them, work through them, put them in a box, and then like move forward with your life and like be the best person you can be for yourself and for this person that's your partner.
That's
a lot harder to do than it sounds.
I just feel really grateful that I have a partner who lets me talk about it, lets me be open about it, and also like lets me talk about it on this podcast, which is like great.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he listens to this, but like, like the fact that I could, cause like, but I also think like, hello, when Jonathan and I started like dating, like, I had just finished I'm Special. And so I just like gave him my like memoir. Like, and I was like, here, babe, read it. Like, here's my crash course in getting to know me. Yeah. So he's always known what it would be like to be with me in terms of, I can't be censored and I need to be honest about myself and where I'm at in life. Cause I honestly feel like that is my survival. Like, I think like
that is. And you've been such a good like example of that for me personally and like inspired me in a lot of those ways too, because it's like, and to tie it all even back to like the Rachel Dolezal.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All of it all. Mm-hmm. It's like that is an example of a person that cannot be honest about her life.
Yeah.
And like, it all comes back to just like, be honest and then move forward. And like, it sounds so cliche and like whatever, even like biblical, but it's like the truth sets you free. You're no longer like a slave to anything because like it's all out on the table. You've said everything you need. And then people are either like DTF with you or they're not. And that's fine.
But either way, you're,
because like, why would you even want to F with someone that's not DTF with you? You wouldn't.
No, sir.
It's just like, but it's hard.
It's fine. It's something I think that I'm going to be dealing with for a long time.
No, you're fine and it's fine, but it's good that you recognize that. And it's like a conversation that's ongoing.
I know. I think with Jonathan, it's so simple because I think Jonathan and I have had very different 20-something experiences where he dated a lot and had a lot of sex and I didn't. And so he feels, I think, very content in just being like, okay. And he's also very loyal and just, that's just who he is. And that's why I love him. But,
I mean,
it's different. Yeah. We have different journeys leading up to the relationship.
Yeah.
You know,
I can relate to you in a sense that it's like, I really wish that I had done sex in my 20s differently, because I feel like after having like a traumatic sexual experience in my teens, that really colored the way I fucked in my 20s.
Well, you're going to have sex now as someone who likes themselves, which is going to be a whole new ball game.
That is a whole new ball game. But like in my 20s, like I slept with a lot of different people, but like a lot of that was like having like blackout sex or like drinking too much and having sex with people that I never would have had sex with sober, or like feeling like I owed guys sex, or like would just find myself in like sexual situations where it was like not necessarily non-consensual, but it was like very murky waters. And I regret a lot of that.
I think that
and
was
I
a
feel
way to
shame about a lot of that.
And well, I think that was a way to normalize your assault, right?
Yeah, I think so. But like at the same time, it's like, and I've had, like, I generally feel like I've had the type of sex that's like casual or no strings attached, and like both people come at it from like a fun, flirty perspective and you have a good time and it's like, lol, anyways, like that was fun.
Right.
But like, I've also had sex that I feel like more ashamed about, and it was like, no, lol, that was not so fun. But like, anyways, let's just like not talk about it again. And I wish that I I guess I wish that I'd never been raped. I don't know. Like, I don't know what to say.
Well, like, I wish I'd never been disabled.
It's yeah, literally like, it's I don't, like, I don't know. Like, I don't, you can't really what, change that. Yeah. And it is what it I is. Know. And like, I can't, like, I would love to be like coming from, and I'm trying to come from more of this place where I feel like very in control of my own sexuality and like express it in ways that feels positive to myself and like, nurturing to myself, and then like have situations where I can like put myself out there to potential sexual partners or potential boyfriends or girlfriends and be like, this is me and like whatever. But it's just a work in progress. It's like a right. long, and it's just a longer journey. And I think when I talk about the like, I think we're maybe coming from the same place. Like when I talk about wanting a shaman to like pull whatever sexual block I have out of myself, mm-hmm. it's kind of the same thing as you wanting to be able to fuck like a bunch of guys. And yeah. at the end of the day, we both just want to feel like okay and like right the wrongs of our past.
Yeah. I think so too. I don't. Yeah. What?
Nothing.
It's like, whew.
Woof. I know. If you turn up the heat.
I know. Turn up the heat combo.
Things got real.
All right. I want to talk about the Ashley Simpson show.
Okay. I want to talk about Nikki Blonsky.
Yeah, we will. We will. That's our babe of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, Rachel, there's so many babes this week.
There's so many.
Like, this has been a real babe week.
But also calling it the Rachel Divide is a babe. Because it's like
the Rachel Divide.
Yeah, it's called the Rachel Divide.
Oh, I didn't even clock
that. A fucking pun, and you know me, I'm a slut for puns.
I know, I didn't even clock
that. I'm a glutton for punishment.
Oh, but I didn't know that until literally just now when you said it twice.
No,
like I watched that documentary. I was like, what is this title? Like, I don't get the Rachel Divide.
Dini and Claire were like, I don't get it, and I was like, no, it's the Rachel Divide, and they're like, oh. And then
it went right over my
funny,
head.
Funny, I clock every fucking pun that comes
yeah,
this way.
You do.
Nothing gets past this noggin. So anyway, I think that's a weird, I just love making into a pun. Like, did some queen in the editing bay like do that? So was it me?
But anyways, the documentary is good.
Yeah, you should definitely watch it.
You should definitely watch it. It's fascinating.
And you should also just
it's a roller coaster because like at one second you're literally like,
yes.
You're like, she's the devil. I fucking hate her. And then you're like, oh my God, I like completely understand her and her journey. And then you're like, but wait, her journey is really fucked. And then it's like, it truly takes you on a journey.
We should
it's a journey
also
of
just
a lifetime.
Like, we should also just like start Kickstarters for her sons to just like find their own path.
Yeah, they need to
because
like,
they need to be released.
I'm like, hun, just come to LA.
They honestly are like truly like Brie Larson in Rome.
They
like,
are.
They, are, they can't.
They're being held hostage.
I know, and she uses them like props in a weird way.
If either of her sons
listens to Babe,
we're like, honey, reach out.
If Rachel listens to Babe,
honey,
don't tell us because we don't want to hear.
Babe, if Rachel, if you're listening to Babe, you need help and like you need to get a therapist and like please. Listen, just like, no shame, just like, fix it. It's not too late. It's not too late.
It's not too late. Wait, it's not
it's
too,
too
late to,
late,
to
baby.
Wait, no. It's, to apologize.
It's not too late to apologize.
It's not too late. Yeah.
Anyways.
So, wait, so I've
so
been,
Ashley.
I've been rewatching the Ashley Simpson show.
Because she has a new show coming out on E.
She does, yeah. It's about her and her fucking husband. Who the fuck cares? But
Evan Ross,
yeah. But I just have such a hard-on for reality shows in the early aughts, because I think it was truly an amazing era for TV.
It was a great era.
And we're talking about The Simple Life. We're talking about Rich Girls. Like, it was iconic, because it wasn't also, like, people weren't as savvy as they once were. Although, the Ashley Simpson show's pretty produced. But
it's pretty bone chilling.
It's not. No, here's the thing. She comes off. I mean, she's kind of stupid, but she's stupid in a way that a 19-year-old would be stupid. That's
well,
the thing.
Yeah.
It actually kind of makes you. I mean, okay. So the summer between my junior and senior year, I decided to make a documentary about my friends, like
no.
in our lives and the real story of
a youth. Documentary.
Yeah,
like a video.
Yeah, like, and I interviewed my friends and talked about serious subjects and stuff like
okay,
that.
Okay, Winona Ryder and like fucking.
Yeah, no, it was fucking wild.
Reality so, Bites over here.
Yeah, it was.
Watches
no,
Reality
no,
Bites. Once.
No, that's literally what happened. I watched Reality Bites between the summer between my junior and senior, year, and I was like, oh my God, I want to do that. So then I did that for all summer.
I do admire though your relentless passion for like
documentation.
Yeah, because you have like
I know.
You documented
wild.
So many
Everything.
Things, and it's amazing.
I know.
If there was one piece of advice I would give to anyone, it's like document the shit out of your life.
That's true.
It's amazing. Anyways,
so,
go ahead.
So I thought I lost the tapes, and my brother found them. God bless him. He found the tapes, and he turned them into, like, discs or whatever the fuck you do. I don't know. They're online, basically. When I watched them, I was so struck by how much energy you have as a teenager. Like, you are bouncing off the goddamn walls. I'd pick up my friend Christy would pick me up, and I'd be like, Christy! We'd be like, ah! We'd like literally be like screaming at each other, singing at the top of our lungs. Like, we were like manic. Like, we were like literally like manic pixie, like teen girls. Like, literally, it was like crazy. They're like, it's Amy working at Ben and Jerry's. Ah! Like, literally, like scream. Like, we're like, yeah, let's get a free scoop. Oatmeal cookie chunk. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oatmeal cookie chunk. Yeah, 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 yeah. Being young. It was crazy. We were like nuts. And that's kind of how Ashley Simpson is. She's like lit on that youth. And like, it kind of is sad because you realize as you get older, like, you don't have that same energy. You just don't. I mean, it's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable, and it goes away. And you're also not so like new to life and like being in that headspace.
Yeah.
Like, you're a little bit, you have a little bit of wear and tear.
But I mourn that because like, they're really like, we really were like naive, like rambunctious, like just like head in the clouds. It was just a great thing to watch. Like, I mean, and a sad thing to watch. But anyway, Ashley Simpson was kind of like that. But there's some bone chilly clips. Like, there was one where she's working with these producers, and one of them, John Shanks, is like 40, I would guess, and yeah, she's 19.
It's gross.
And yeah, and she's in the booth like singing a song, and he stops her, and he's like, "Listen, I mean, I would work with you anyway, because you're so fucking hot, but like, yeah, want to make this record?" And it was just like, wait, that is sick. She's like 20 years younger than you, and like, Ashley's clearly uncomfortable in the booth, and she's like, "Hey, you're hot too."
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like you see that. I mean, not to take it back to Vanderpump Rules 24/7, but like, even in the pilot of Vanderpump Rules, when Sheena's in the booth and she's recording her first single, it's like, she's basically getting like sexually harassed by every single producer in there.
Yeah.
And it's just awful.
Yeah. With those,
I cannot imagine like having to go through that in order to just like achieve your dreams. You know what I mean?
So like, these producers are so condescending to her, and like, everyone is just treating her like a dumbass, and she's,
it's like, she's the talent and you're trash.
Yeah. Like, get over it.
And like, you're trying to flex on her because you know that.
Yeah.
It's gross.
That's a classic move.
Let's talk about Nikki Blonsky.
Okay, Nikki Blonsky. Here's the deal. So
she is my queen.
No, she's everything. I feel bad for sleeping on her for so long because I had heard from gay Twitter that she was truly, truly cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I saw someone assembled her tweets at people being like, "Hey, my name is Nikki Blonsky from Hairspray. I would love to work with you." Like, she's so thirsty that like, we're gonna need like a bigger boat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We're going to need more Awkwafina.
Yeah. She loves her Awkwafina. So
she loves the fact that anyone that's like comes out and is like, "My favorite brand of water is Awkwafina," is,
I like fishing.
Honestly, my hero.
Yeah. I'm going to go back. My favorite thing. I'm going to go back to watching Welcome Back, Kotter, because I have a very beautiful friend in it.
And then smirks.
Like, it's John Travolta.
Literally, Nikki Blonsky.
Who, by the way, John Travolta probably hasn't talked to her in years.
No.
She's not like a young twink masseur.
No.
He's
like, "Did I assault someone named Nikki in the sauna the other day?" Yeah, he like calls his lawyer. He's like, "Who's Nikki? Did we give him a settlement or something?"
Well, so I feel bad for sleeping on her because now I follow her and her Instagram stories are truly insane in the membrane.
She is 100% babe? Like, yeah.
It all started because she took she gave a tour of her gorgeous Best Western hotel room in West Virginia. And like, it's obviously a dump. And at one point she turns the camera to the TV and she goes, "Oh my God, this TV. What do you even do with a TV this big? The TV is the size of my goddamn thumb."
It's like a regular TV.
It's a regular TV.
And then she's like, "Look at the most beautiful view." And it's like just grass.
Someone's like mainlining Oxy.
No, it's field. Like, it's a Best Western. Like, it's fine. It does the job. Like, you put the roof over your head for a night, but it's like, I guess she must have like been getting that for free and needed to like.
She's kind of on downers, TBH.
Really? Are you a Nikki Blonsky truther that she's really like an opioid addict?
No, I think that she's just kind of, I hope for her sake that she's a little bit on drugs. I hope that's not her natural state.
I think this is just Nikki Blonsky. I think Nikki Blonsky got plucked out of obscurity.
Well, also, we had heard... Here's what I know about Nikki Blonsky, just from being a gay that's alive in this world. Hairspray, and then the fight in the airport with the America's Next Top Model contestant, which is a babe.
Yeah, and the contestant's entire family. It was the Blonskys that brawled. Had like a white power brawl.
Yeah.
With, I think her name is Bianca. I want to make sure.
Then I had heard that she worked at a shoe store in upstate New York, and now she just is remarkably thirsty on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah.
I love her. You should follow her. She's very funny.
Oh, yeah. It was Bianca from ANTM. I knew it. I knew it.
When you're right, you're right.
When you're right, you're right. Yeah. Bianca from ANTM and her family, Nikki Blonsky.
What?
Really? There's video of their fight at the airport.
No.
Bianca Golden. This is on People Crime. People.com/crime.
Okay.
Bianca Golden. Nikki Blonsky kicked my mother in an airport brawl. Can you imagine? Can you believe?
Can you believe?
America's Next Top Model contestant Bianca Golden is speaking out for the first time about the Caribbean airport brawl, saying both Hairspray star Nikki Blonsky and her father attacked Golden's mother. Golden says in the October 8th episode of the Tyra Banks Show that her family was at the Turks and Caicos airport on July 29th, returning from a family reunion for her dying grandfather when Nikki Blonsky became very rude to my aunt. An argument erupted between Blonsky and Golden's families, and Blonsky's father, Carl, quote, punched my mom. Carl? Carl Blonsky is out of control.
No.
He knocked her out.
No.
He hit my mom with such force, she stumbled back. And when she stumbled back, the whole family got up and attacked my mom.
That is insane.
Yeah. Nikki Blonsky, like, I'm sorry, I don't feel that much.
No, I don't feel that.
Sadness for her. And I'm just like, live, laugh, love, drink Aquafina forever for all I care. Because, like...
You're fucking crazy.
You're trash.
Yeah.
Then, when her, her mother...
You're
trash. Then when her mother was on the ground, Nikki, quote, takes her foot and kicks my mom in her vagina. And that's when my mom fell out completely, says Golden. Yeah, if someone kicked me in the vagina.
Same.
Same. When Nikki kicked my mom, I went and grabbed her arm and she grabbed my earring, she says. Her mom sat on her to get off. Her mom sat on her to get off of me because her mom saw what was happening and that was that. So Nikki's mom is actually like a peacemaker in this whole situation. Golden says her mother was airlifted to the hospital with internal bleeding, a broken nose, and a fractured skull.
Oh my God.
Her face is still black and blue, she says. Carl, Nikki, Blonsky, and Golden were all arrested on assault charges, the most serious charges against Carl. A rep for Nikki says, since this is a pending legal issue, we've been advised by her lawyer not to comment.
Wow.
The end. Nikki, you're fired.
Yeah. Bye, Nikki.
Wait.
XO. Have fun.
There's a video, but we can't really watch it on this pod.
Okay.
All of our phones are like in use for something, and delicate lives hang in the balance. So, anyways, Nikki is...
Jeez.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot to deal with.
It's not enough. I want more.
All right. Should we get into
Reader mail? Yeah.
So with us today is a very special person to weigh in on reader mail. You may or may not know her from Sex Unique podcast because she was a guest not too long ago.
She's an actual doctor.
She's an actual doctor.
Yeah.
So we're legit.
Yeah. And we feel like, I mean, we give a lot of weird advice that probably is bad.
But she can give good advice that's actually good.
Like
she's a doctor.
She's a literal doctor. So hopefully she'll do a better job than we usually do.
Yeah. And so do you want to say her name?
Oh, sorry.
This is a crash course on how to intro someone.
Okay. Here is Dr. Dini Eichenstein.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Eichenstein, bitch.
Oh, God. Dr. Dini Eichenstein. Hi. Thank you for being here.
So happy to be here.
I'm so glad we're all in Palm Springs together.
Me too.
In this sauna of a house. Okay, so our first email is, hi, Lauren Ryan. Please keep me anonymous. First, I would like to say a massive thank you for Babe, Sex Unique Podcast, and now Saving Sex in the City 3. In addition to my Adderall prescription, your episodes are truly my daily dose of joy and lols as I struggle through the 9-to-5 corporate world. On the most recent bonus episode of Babe, you talked about Lara's love for numerology, and Lara put out a call for patrons to tweet her for a reading. As a, quote, spiritual gangster who would literally take advice from a fortune cookie, I quickly unlocked my Twitter and sent Lara a tweet. I was ecstatic when Lara actually responded with my numerology reading, I'm a 13-4, and was happily surprised with how accurate it was, down to the lack of safety and stability in my family of origin, leading to my obsession with creating stability and safety in all aspects of my life. Curious, I looked up my boyfriend's life path number to see if this was also true. It was eerily accurate down to every detail. Turns out he's a life path 9 and I'm a 4, which from everything I can find on the internet is a terrible match. Yikes. This brings me to my current dilemma and how Lara's numerology reading has led me to ask, is it babe to stay in a relationship knowing that you are eventually going to break up with them? Mm-hmm. Quick backstory. I met my current boyfriend when I was at the tender age of 17, going on 18, and he was 23. I truly had the Hollywood love at first sight experience. We proceeded to date, aka hook up and get emotionally involved whenever we were both single, on and off for 8 years. 1 year ago, we finally reckoned with our feelings and made the decision to commit to a real monogamous relationship. I'll spare you most of the details, but 9 years later, there are a number of huge red flags and issues in our relationship. Here's one example. He's admitted that he likes to, quote, get a reaction out of me, unquote. For example, despite knowing that I was the victim of childhood molestation, argued with me about the Me Too movement and why I don't think these men should ever be allowed to get their careers, family, etc. back. Asking me hypothetically, quote, if I found out he had committed a sexual assault but he atoned for his sins and served jail time, would I forgive him and still be with him, unquote. When I answered that no, I probably would not be able to get past that, he went off on me, saying that I clearly don't really love him. Babe, your boyfriend's a bub. Just side note. Back to the email. We were out for dinner at the time, and he verbally tore me to shreds in the restaurant to the point that I was just sitting there with tears silently streaming down my face and trying not to, quote, embarrass him by crying in public, unquote. Lara's numerology reading was truly a wake-up call, articulating in ways I haven't been able to what the issues are in our relationship. I've subconsciously known this for months and even discussed in therapy. However, due in part to what I said earlier about the lack of familial stability growing up, I'm not emotionally ready to end the relationship, even though I know he is not the one I want to spend the rest of my life with. My therapist has told me not to beat myself up about this and instead to work on myself and build myself up until I feel I'm strong enough to end the relationship. What do you guys think? Am I babing out? Love you both. Fuck.
Wow.
You're not babing out.
No.
Like, this is, like, legitimate babe on a journey.
It sounds like she's sure she's going to break up with him.
Yeah.
She just doesn't know if she can pull the trigger and if that's okay.
Yeah.
I think that's the summary. You're never going to be ready, right? I mean, there are worse times to do it. There's no good time to do it.
No, there's never a good time to break up with someone.
But I think if you're sure, then...
I think once you know, it becomes a matter of when. And you don't ever want to let it get to a point where it's like you're both hurting each other, mm-hmm. or you're getting hurt by him. Like, I in my last relationship, very much... reached a point where I knew it was inevitable. Like, this is not sustainable, blah, blah, blah. But I also, like, didn't want to hurt. I didn't want to go through the, like, mm-hmm. hurt and pain of mm-hmm. a breakup. But in that time period where I recognized that and where the breakup happened was, like, I don't think it was really good for either of us.
Yeah, it's not super fair to stay in it if you're sure you want out.
But it's also, like, this is not... stability to me is not being with someone that's like trying to get a rise out of you. Like mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. also just sounds like you're putting yourself through more like not pain. Necessarily abuse straight out, but like an offshoot of abuse. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. like saying, oh, but what if I did that? Like, it's just like questioning, and he's throwing wrenches into your stability by like doing that. Like mm-hmm. someone that would actually be giving you the stability that you desire would not be saying that kind of shit to you.
Yeah, this is not real stability.
Yeah. So, I mean, only you know what your situation is and like what you need to do, but I would say get the fuck out of that relationship, and like there are plenty of fish in the sea that would mm-hmm. honor your past and not be a dick about
it. Yeah,
it
sounds really, really rough.
Yeah. I'm sorry you had to go through that. That fucking sucks.
Yeah.
So, like, the longer you stay in, like, the messier it gets, I feel like. You're just digging yourself a deeper and deeper hole. So, honey, start shoveling.
It's good she's talking about in therapy. It's good. You're reflecting. You're doing the work. It's just about, you know, making that move.
And pulling the trigger.
Yeah. And then continuing to do the work. Because it's not over once you're out of the relationship.
No. It's like another wave just begins.
Yeah. Sorry. Such a downer. I'm a professional downer. I'm a psychologist, by the way, not a medical doctor. I just want to clarify.
Okay. I
feel like that if I was a medical doctor, I would not be qualified to be weighing in on this. I'd be like, tell me about your rash.
You handle emotional rashes.
Emotional rash.
Exactly.
But you're definitely not babying out. You're actually babing in.
Yeah.
Babe in. And best of luck. Write a follow-up and let us know how it goes. And you can absolutely, you have everything you need to, like, move forward and get out of there.
Yeah, I concur.
And it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for talking shit on numerology because I always thought it was gibbity gobbity goop, and I still think it is. But the fact that her numerology chart woke her up to the instability in the relationship is kind of great.
Guys, it's wild. Also, I'm just going to say, I didn't even think to, like, come for you over your naysaying of numerology, and I still won't because I want to be respectful. But something about nines that's really interesting, and my brother is a nine, is that they are known for having, like, severe mommy issues. And I don't know if, like, that resonates with you, reader, or not, but please write us back and let me know if it does. Like, they have, like, all of that kind of shit going on. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, a thing that nines are known for. Anyways.
I want to talk more about this later.
Okay. Yeah, I absolutely do. Okay. Lauren Ryan, at 27 years old, I had my first true heartbreak in February, late bloomer. I ignored all the red flags, thinking, oh, every couple has its issues, and babe, no. He wasn't over his ex-girlfriend, and he knew it. Long story short, he said he loved me and led me on. It's now May, and I'm still not over this dude. It was a long-distance relationship to complicate things. I've committed some heinous acts of self-hate, texting him and trying to get him to say no, that he really did love me. / wish we could be together. That's my mommy / abandonment issues saying, sup, bitch. Oh, and of course, slept all hours, neglected schoolwork. I'm in grad school, etc. I lived in LA for 9 months, and I'm struggling in ways I could never have anticipated. I've met more exhausting crazy / knollers than I have very few friends. The people in my program are babies, 23, and I haven't really connected with any of them. My attitude is not so much negative as I'm angsty / borderline doing that non-chic feeling sorry for myself thing. I'm really struggling to get out of my apartment and stop negative self-talk like I'm not cool or funny enough. Oh, and I'm just barely stopping myself from texting him. Anyway, so I'm obviously on Team Babe. Happy to have you guys on my journey. I'm lucky to walk in your love and light. Off to Babe out and more. Love you, mean it. Babe, I feel bad because I've 100% been in this exact same situation and continue to be off and on in that same situation. Get a therapist.
Yeah, get a therapist. There wasn't really a question in there. It was just like, this is really hard, guys, and thank you, and I love you, and
maybe
that sounds lonely.
That sounds lonely. But this is a good time to tie in the fact that Dr. Deanie.
Come see me.
Come see Dr. Deanie.
Wait.
Because.
You do need to see her. By
you
the
do
way.
Need to see her.
I get her for free.
We get her for free. And she recommended me to an amazing therapist in my time of desperate need. And
she's gotten all of us into therapy.
She's gotten all of us into therapy. And
she's
Dr. Deanie specializes in anxious women in their 20s that are dealing with shit.
Yeah, come see me.
Come see her. We'll email you back. I'm going to email you back.
But also wrap your thing so they can find you.
Oh, Dr. Deanie on Instagram.
Dr. Deanie on Instagram, but I'll email her back with your info just in case.
Yeah.
And, like, this is just a weird dark period that it's temporary. Like, this is a temp.
Grad school is really transitional, and there's a big mix of people, and I'm curious what she's studying, but it's temporary. You're going to come out. You're going to find your career, which is probably what you're in there for, and just this is a time.
And finding your purpose and then living your purpose is such a huge part of being like happy with yourself and your life state.
Also, the first year where you move to a big city might as well just be deleted. Like, it's not like it, you're not going to find your tribe. You're going to go to weird restaurants, weird bars, hang out with weird people, and you're going to eventually find your tribe. You always do. I've moved from San Francisco to New York to LA, and I've not known many people each move, and it's always worked out. But the first year is always rough, but
especially in LA. LA is really a hard car culture, like isolating kind of place. It's really spread out. I wouldn't say people are unfriendly here, but they're like not trying to make friends.
It's difficult to connect with new people.
Yeah.
Like I moved here with having like a very small, concentrated circle of friends that I was able to use as my like base and then branch out from, which was really lucky because I've been in situations like when I moved to Chicago where I had no friends. It was very, very difficult. But like, you have all the tools and the knowledge and the wherewithal. Like, clearly you're a smarty, you're in grad school. Like,
yeah,
and it's going
to
be okay.
It's good to be discerning about who you surround yourself. Like, it's lonely, but don't become friends with people you don't like.
Yeah. It's better to be alone than just like hang out with random babes and like just because they are reaching out to you.
Yeah.
I can't count how many times I've eaten a chop salad with someone that I hate.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. So we're emailing you the info of a really good therapist and like things might take off. Dear Lauren Ryan, I write this on the heels of storming out of my boyfriend's apartment. It is 90 degrees currently and he invited me to sleep over. The catch? He refused to turn on his fully functioning air conditioning.
That sounds familiar.
We are both adults. I'm like, whoa, triggered. We are both adults with well-paying jobs who can afford to air condition our apartments. Money isn't an issue. I got so desperate, I offered him $10. It was literally, and I use literally, literally, 85 degrees in his apartment. On top of the temperature, he's a clingy sleeper who makes me overheat in the depths of below freezing winters. I said I was going to go home after laying butt naked on his bed for 20 minutes, scooting further and further away from him as he scooted closer to me. He got mad at me for leaving. It's late for me and I have to wake up at 5 a.m. I want to sleep. I just got home and cranked my AC. Am I babying out? Is my annoyance justified? Is there a way to ask him to never invite me to sleep over when his apartment is boiling hot without going down a deeper babe hole? Anyway, I'm too keyed up from feeling slighted to sleep now. Love and light. Babe, break up with this fucking guy.
You don't
what
need an AC with that
fuck?
One. He's cold as ice, honey.
Honey. You are not babying out. And to even think that you're being unreasonable, he's gaslighting you and he is a demon monster. Like, I'm fully, like, delete him.
I wonder what the fight's really about.
Taking it to a deeper level. I like that. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's crazy. I would be fucking furious. But why won't he turn on the AC? Like, what is this about? What is this actually about? Because, like, money is not ever about money. Like you said, he has money to, like, pay for the AC. You'd pay for it. What is he really doing? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's something deeper. But, yeah, I'd be pissed.
Yeah. Maybe his next girlfriend can figure that out.
It might not be for you to figure
might
out.
Might not be your journey or
you
your calling.
You get to decide.
To get to the bottom. Good point, though. Follow up. Let us know more.
Yeah. Because she said he also overheats in the winter. Is that what she said? So
he
it's not like he won't use...
He sleeps hot. So
like he personally gets hot?
Yeah, I think he just is like a hot sleeper. But also that doesn't track because then wouldn't you want it cold?
Yeah, it's a little confusing. But either way, he's not really respecting what you need.
Lauren Ryan, my best friend lives with a guy that everyone knows is gayer than a $2 bill, but he has yet to admit it to anyone. Normally, I respect someone's journey to come out when they are ready, but all signs point to him just waiting for someone to ask if he's gay or nay. I've been following his sad gay secret since they started living together 2 years ago. He has always been extremely flamboyant, but recently he's gotten extreme at dropping hints to those he's closest to. I've become obsessed with finding evidence that he no doubt likes boys on a babe level. I looked at all his accounts he follows on Insta and is chock full of gay meme accounts. Everything from Grindr parody shit to the whole Queer Eye cast. My other best friend happened to stumble upon his profile on the new gay dating app, Chappie, confirming what we all knew was the truth. How do we go about telling him we know and that we support him without offending him and forcing him to have a conversation he's not comfortable with? Is it not our place to bring up the elephant in the room? Help.
Just ask.
Yeah.
If he doesn't want to talk about it, then that's it. I mean, clearly he doesn't because he hasn't. But some people do want to be asked, I think, all kinds of things that they're afraid to say.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't want to talk about it, he'll tell you. Or if he says no, then you drop it.
Well, it seems like he's already living like a semi-out existence. If he's on Chappie, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so he's already 1 foot out the door. He just might need a little nudge. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know. But yeah, wait, was he dating a friend?
No, it's just like
a guy. Oh, he's just like a random friend. Okay, yeah, yeah. No, don't worry. But yeah, do ask and then maybe do or don't tell. You know?
Okay, here's a good follow. This is what I was looking for. The follow-up from Gonorrhea Girl.
Oh, good. Gonorrhea Girl.
Gonorrhea Girl. Dear Lauren Ryan, Gonorrhea Girl here, and I'm looking for some advice because I feel like I'm being scammed. Lara seems like an expert, and now I don't know what to do. Last night, I thought I was being responsible by not going out and getting really drunk and lolling with my roommate at home instead. Flash forward a few hours later, add some pills and weed to all the alcohol, and I'm lit. I feel like I've been hearing all about sugar daddy websites lately and decide that right now is the best time to sign up and see how easy it is. I made a profile without much info on it just so I could see what was out there on the website, but I did include a picture of myself. I'm either really attractive or look like I can easily be scammed, or both, but it didn't take long for daddies to start messaging me. These websites try to make you upgrade your account to message people back, so I texted their phone numbers that they sent me. I started talking and flirting with this one daddy, and before long, he wants to pay my credit card and give me a $2,000 weekly allowance. All I have to do is let him be my only daddy and delete my account on that website. Since I was 5 minutes into being a sugar baby, this didn't seem like a bad offer, so I took it. He then gave me his bank account number and routing number to pay my card, and I sent him a picture of it after I used it. It's Sunday now, so TBD on whether it will clear or not, but it was $10,000 plus.
That's what she got?
That's what Gonorrhea Girl got. I don't know if Gonorrhea Girl is a guy or a girl,
sure.
But it's just Gonorrhea Girl. So Gonorrhea Girl just literally last time emailed us, thought he had gonorrhea, and now Gonorrhea Girl's getting her 10,000 plus credit
card. Life's on the up and up.
This is a babe.
That will pay for a lot of STD tests.
When I wake up this morning, my daddy is texting me and telling me he wants me to buy him iTunes and Amazon gift cards.
Buy him?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Reading back through our conversation from the night before, I realized I drunkenly agreed to buy these cards for him because he's in Dubai or something and works in tech.
Red flag.
IDK, this is all very sketchy. My first instinct is just to ghost him and pretend like this whole thing never happened. Most of the expenses on my card are work-related, and I get reimbursed for them anyway, so I don't really need the money. I just want it. And this could be the easiest money I've ever made in my life, I'll say. But sending someone pictures of scratched-off iTunes cards that I bought scream scam to me. Do I wait to see if his money goes through first? Anyways, any advice you could give would be great, because obviously this entire situation is a total babe, and I'm feeling really anxious, but that could just be the edible I ate earlier. I probably am going to ghost him, because as Ma Anand Sheila would say, burn all bridges. Go forward and do not look back. Ryan, that's a wild, wild country reference. You should really, really watch the show. Love and light. GG.
Oh, I love gonorrhea.
P.S. I still don't have gonorrhea, and I can't wait for the merch.
Can we make Gonorrhea Girl t-shirts?
Yes.
Wow.
I love her.
Gonorrhea Girl is iconic.
She's iconic to us.
I hope she's a character.
She is.
I hope she wrote. I mean, non-judgmentally, just like, this is a great character.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Gonorrhea Girl's life is really aspirational and babespirational.
This is definitely a scam, though, and I think he should restart the sugar baby.
What's the scam?
Well, it's the iTunes Dubai. I don't like...
Anytime he needs money from her, I don't understand
it. He doesn't need... Yeah. I don't understand it either.
Get far, far away from
gonorrhea
this
girl. I need to know, did it charge his bank account? Like, did your credit card bills get paid?
I doubt it. And she doesn't need the money. Go away from this guy. I'm scared for her.
Maybe, yeah. Here's what I'm thinking now that I think about it, is that whoever sent her the routing number and bank account number is scamming her in the sense that they stole this routing number and bank account number and they're directing it to her card.
Yes.
And like now the charges will be directed to you.
No.
You got to get the fuck out of there.
Got to get out.
Gonorrhea girl's like in jail right now.
Yeah. Yeah, for real.
Serious like fraud.
Yeah.
Gonorrhea girl.
Blackmail.
Reach out again.
Yes.
Let us know what the update is because I need to know. This email was sent 6 days ago, so hopefully we'll have more on the next episode.
I need more.
This is a literal 911 to gonorrhea girl. We're hooked, and we're not going to give up until we get answers.
Wow. I also love, like, a casual, like, weed pills booze night.
I know. That was sounds not so low-key.
She's wilding out.
She's
wild all country. Mm-hmm. She really is.
She's burning bridges and trying to pay those $10,000 credit card bills.
I love it.
Also, I'm like, $10,000 on a credit card bill? Like, how?
I can tell you. It's easy. You blink twice.
I'm never.
I'm with you. Yeah. I can imagine.
Like, I get it, but I also am like, how? Like, I don't think I've ever been approved for that much credit in my life. Mm-hmm.
What? That's a different problem.
My credit score is gonorrhea, girl.
Let's do an episode about that.
I'm ready to talk about credit scores.
Yeah.
But maybe next time.
Yeah.
My credit score, no, never mind.
Tell us.
No, it was just not going to work.
Yours is good.
Yeah, it's good. My credit score is amazing.
You're a credit score and I'm a credit whore. I don't know how that works.
And this is a credit bore. Anyways.
Okay. Is that it or do we do one more or what? We should go. It's hot.
Yeah, we should go. It's really hot. We're sorry and for everything.
We're sorry for everything, but I think this actually turned out to be a really wonderful.
We know that we were not at our like lulziest.
No, but this is a good. Today, this is a good app.
But you have to understand, our faces are truly melting off. Like Lara's like moo-moo is actually just a pile of garbage.
It's wet. I have sweat marks in my Tom Schwartz moo-moo.
Yeah. But thank you, Dr. Deeney, for being on.
Yeah, and if you
live in Los Angeles and you are a 20-something woman with anxiety, which is literally
You're a woman, right? Yeah. Or is it just 20-something?
No, I see older and younger.
Love.
Yeah, you should really hit her up because she's amazing.
Dr. Deeney on Instagram.
Should we spell it?
Spell it.
D-E-A-N-I-E.
Yeah, and our other friend's drying her hair, so you might hear the hair dryer, and it's fine. We're living, laughing, loving, but we gotta go.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you.
Thank you for being here.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.